We're going to be turning this morning to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. And we are continuing our series on We Are Chapel of Change. We are Chapel of Change. I want someone to say that on count of three real loud. One, two, three. All right, y'all sounded good. Y'all sounded good. But one more time. One, two, three. That was better. That was better. So we are on the weekends. We are studying our seven core values as a church. If you are exploring what Chapel of Change is about, then you have come at the right time because whenever you decide to be a part of a church, you need to test that church. You need to examine that church. You don't just jump into a church. You need to examine what they believe. You need to examine what they are about. And you need to examine their core values, because core values are what drives a church. So we launched into this series on the first Sunday or weekend of the year, and we talked about we are people who pray, we are people who worship, we talked about last Sunday we are people who grow. We even launched small groups throughout the week to talk more about what we're studying on the weekends. And so I want to show you a couple of our small groups. Someone praise the Lord for them small groups right there. We have over a dozen small groups. This is just a couple of them. But people are meeting, particularly in Paramount. They're meeting on Thursday nights, and they're getting into groups, and they're discussing what we're learning on Sunday. How many know that we need to sometimes hear the word several times to get it, right? And some of y'all, some of us, we don't learn just by listening. We learn by talking, believe it or not. Some of y'all learn by talking, right? And the small groups give you the opportunity to discuss the material that I'm teaching on the weekend, to talk about it, even to push back a little bit and say, hey, this spoke out to me, or this didn't spoke out to me. So it's not too late to get involved. You can come on Thursday night and get a part of that. Now, today, we are going to be studying core value number four, which is we are people who serve. We are people who serve. And I am challenging the church all weekend long. We started off last night at Saturday at our Whittier campus. By the way, we baptized six people at our Whittier campus on Saturday night, which is an awesome, awesome thing. We got baptisms today at 12:30. If you have not got baptized, make sure you sign up in the lobby. You'll see some brothers and sisters with blue shirts on called BAM. Someone say BAM. That is our baptism and membership ministry. Amen. We have a baptism right here where we're going to celebrate at 12:30 service. So if you have not got baptized, it's not too late. So we are challenging the church to live out the gospel through service. We are challenging the church to demonstrate the gospel through service. I am challenging the church, don't just talk about the gospel, but walk about the gospel. Walk about the gospel. Give your life to serving God by serving others. Give your life to serving God by serving others. Invest your life into serving God. Spend your life for what God wants you to do. There is no other higher noble cause in the universe than the mission of Jesus Christ in this earth. No other noble cause. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor, doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, doesn't matter if you're a judge. There is no other noble cause, higher cause in this universe, in this galaxy, than the mission of Jesus Christ in this world. Now, the truth is, we all give our lives away for something. Whether you realize it or not, you're giving your life away to something. It's just a question of what you are giving your life away for. What is it that you're giving your life away to? Listen to this. Don't give your life away just for your job. Don't give your life away just for your job. Now, don't misunderstand me. You got to work. It's a noble thing to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So if you ain't got a job, you got to get a job. But at the end of the day, do not give your entire life to your job. Because I don't care how long you worked there. I don't care how good you were. After 40 years or 50 years or 70 years and you're gone, they're going to forget about you. I don't care if they put your name on the wall. They still gonna forget about you. Don't give your life just for your job. Don't give your life just for the pursuit of happiness. Don't give your life just for the pursuit of the American dream. Do not give your life just for temporary earthly purposes. Give your life to what has an eternal impact. Give your life to what makes an eternal difference in this world and in heaven. I'm excited. The Chapel of Change is making an eternal difference in this world. What happened yesterday when hundreds of women converged upon Chapel of Change was not a temporary thing. We made an eternal impact into the lives of hundreds of women to the glory of God. In fact, as quiet as it's kept, I got to let you know right now that way too many ladies came for this building. Way too many ladies came for this building. Ain't nobody like to be elbow to elbow with people, only pastors like that. So I'm believing, I don't know if the Lord is going to say the same, but I'm believing that we're going to have to rent a bigger space next year. I'm believing we're going to have to rent a bigger space because we're making an eternal impact. I think it was Kirk Franklin that said, only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. At Chapel of Change, throughout the weekend, through all our services, we minister to approximately 1,000 people. Last weekend, I think it was about 1,100 people that came to Chapel of Change and received the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reality is, my brothers and sisters, we have space for 2,000 people. How would you like Chapel of Change to double, right? How would you like for Chapel of Change to reach more people for the kingdom of God? And let me just be clear on this. We're not about building an audience. We're about building an army for the kingdom of God. It's not about an audience. It's about an army. But in order to effectively minister to 2,000 people on a weekend, my brothers and sisters, we need approximately 200 people to serve in various capacities of the church. Need approximately 200 people to serve. God is not going to send 2,000 people if we're not ready for them. God is not going to send 2,000 people if we cannot handle them. So there are several, my brothers and sisters, teams at Paramount location where everybody or people can serve in. We have the youth ministry team led by Jonathan and Debbie, right? They're looking to expand. They just put a challenge to us. They want to start a youth group at our 10:15. That means we're going to have worship together, and then the youth are going to break off before the sermon, and they're going to study the Bible together. I think that's honorable. And they just put a challenge before us. They said, hey, we're willing to go further into the kingdom of God, but are you willing to go with us? We have the operations team led by Noe and his wife, people that receive the people that come, they receive the people that come to Chapel of Change. You could serve on the operations team. We have the children's ministry team where you can serve at once a month. God is sending dozens and dozens of kids to Chapel of Change. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. I baptized a 9-year-old boy yesterday at our Whittier campus. And I told that young boy, I said, is it your expressed desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your life? And he looked up at me in front of all the congregation and he said, yes. But you know the reality, my brothers and sisters? His mom brought him to church. I looked around, didn't see his dad. Didn't see his dad. God is sending lots of children to us that maybe don't have a dad or maybe don't have a mom. Some of them don't have a mom or dad. Their grandmothers are bringing them to Chapel of Change. And we are the primary teachers of the Bible to those kids. We are the primary example. They're not going to get it anywhere else. They're getting it at Chapel of Change. And that's why we need all soldiers on deck. We need all soldiers on deck. And some of y'all, you don't have to be teachers in the ministry. You could be helpers. You could smile. Some of y'all got to use your smiles for the Lord, and not just your job. Some of y'all put on a better smile at that office than you do. I don't know why I said that, but. So there's various areas in Chapel of Change where you can serve. You can serve on the media team, right? We need people to do the slides. You could serve on the sound team. You could serve on the worship team. Maybe you could sing unto the Lord. You can get with Pastor Les. Maybe you can do an instrument, right? You can get with Pastor Les. And you ain't got to be no Frank Sinatra. We'll help you. So today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And if you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And I'm just going to go over a couple reasons today. Why do we serve the Lord? This is what I'm going to go over today. Why do we serve the Lord? It's very important that we understand our why. Someone say why. It's very important you understand why. Why? Not just your what. Many people understand what they do, but you got to understand your why, because your why is your motivator. Your why is your motivator. You got to understand, why do you wake up every morning, early in the morning, to go to work? Why are you a faithful husband or a faithful wife? Why do you value sobriety? You got to always remember your why, because those who forget their why don't last long. Those who forget their why do not go the distance. So today I'm going to be dealing with a couple reasons. Why do we serve the Lord? And if you happen to have a little girl, you've already been hammered with this question. Why? Some of y'all get that later when you have a girl. Why do we go to the store? Why are we buying milk? Why are we doing this? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let us pray. Father God, we open up your word this morning to submit to it. We open up your word this morning to be transformed by it. And we open up your word this morning to be inspired by it. Speak to us, Lord. Give us understanding in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Why do we serve the Lord? Why do people come here early and set up the church? Why is there people in the parking lot? How come they're not in here worshiping with us? Why are they in the parking lot welcoming the people? Why is there people in the children's ministry teaching the kids? How come they're not in here receiving the word? Why yesterday at the women's conference did people come at 7 in the morning to set up the tent? Why did people come to cook the food? Why did the worship team come an hour earlier to prepare this morning? Why? I want to give us the answer to why we serve. Number one, because of God's grace. Because of God's grace. Look at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Now we need to understand that Christianity is all about grace. Christianity is all about grace. Grace is the secret sauce to Christianity. The word grace, when you study it in the New Testament, it is used 150 times. And it speaks of God's divine favor given to those who don't deserve it. Grace speaks of favor we don't deserve. And we ought to always praise God when we receive something we don't deserve. We ought to always thank God when we notice something in our life that we do not deserve. Grace is favor we do not deserve. It is the secret sauce to Christianity, because Christianity is all about grace. We sing about grace. Anybody remember the hymn? Anybody remember the hymn, Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We sing about grace. We preach about God's grace. The Bible calls it wonderful grace. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I'm going to put it up on the screen. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. Sin done us in, but grace lifts us up. And his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it wonderful grace. We sing about grace. We preach about grace. The Bible also calls it saving grace. Saving grace. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation, get this, to all people. Grace is big enough for all people. It doesn't matter how much you sin. It doesn't matter how you messed up. The grace of God is big enough to cover you. The Bible says that grace offers salvation. Salvation is healing. It's wholeness. It's deliverance. The Bible also says that we stand on God's grace. In Romans chapter 5, look at what the scripture says. It says, through Jesus, we have also obtained access. Someone say access. I love that. We got access. Jesus gives us access. Some of y'all should catch an attitude with that one. By faith into this grace in which we stand. Someone say stand. So we stand on the grace of God. You didn't get here by your own strength. You got here by the grace of God. You ain't alive today because you are fast enough to dodge that bullet. No, no, no. That was the grace of God. Grace woke you up this morning. Grace helped you put your clothes on this morning. Grace brought you to church this morning. Grace delivered you. Grace saved you. Don't ever, ever fall for the lie that you got here based on your own strength. Y'all didn't get that position because you were smart enough. Some of y'all don't belong behind that computer as much drugs as you've done. It was the grace of God that gave you that favor. It was the grace of God that gave you that position. It was the grace of God that gave you that love. It was the grace of God that gave you that spouse. Some of y'all husbands know you don't deserve that spouse. It was God's grace. God's grace protected you when you were in danger. Kept you alive when you blacked out that night because you decided to get drunk. Grace found you when you were hiding from God. Apostle Peter said we are stewards of God's grace. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve God. Others. You catch that? The gift that God has given you, whether it's good with your hands, whether it's good with your mind, whether it's good with your mouth, whether it's good with your feet, the gift that God has given you is not primarily for you. It's not primarily for you. It is for others. It is to serve others. Yeah, you can benefit from it. Yeah, you can be blessed by it, but it is not primarily for you. It is to serve others. Then it says, as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Steward. The word steward means one responsible for the proper use of something entrusted to him or her. One responsible for the proper use of what is entrusted to him or her. So if there's a proper use for something, then there's a misuse for something. And sometimes we misuse the grace of God. Sometimes we misuse what God has given us. And I want to suggest to us this weekend that we will be judged for God's grace in our life. I want to suggest to us that every one of us individually at one day are going to stand before God in heaven, and you ain't going to have your mama on your left and you ain't going to have your tia on the right. It's going to be just you and God, and he's going to tell you, what did you do with the grace of that I gave you? Did you sit with this grace or did you serve with this grace? Did you sit with it or did you serve with this grace? Did we hog up God's grace or did we make a difference with God's grace? What did we do with it? People often ask me, they say, Brian, how are you able to serve with so much vigor and passion? How are you able to serve with so much vigor and passion? And part of the answer to that is because I have a profound understanding that I ain't supposed to be here. I got a profound gratefulness in my heart because I know I ain't supposed to be here. Yesterday morning, we got the privilege to go into the high security prison in San Diego, and we preached to over 200 prisoners. We preached to over 200 prisoners, and 20 of them repented from their sins and gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked to a young boy. He was 21 years old, about to start his 20-year sentence. Looked like a frail cartoon character type of individual about to start a 20-year sentence in a maximum security prison. I talked to another gentleman, did 30 years in prison. 30 years in the same place. Doesn't even know what it looks like on the outside of that prison. Walking around in circles. When I drove out of that place and they opened up the door and they opened up the gate and the correction officers opened it up and they kicked me out, and as I drove away, and even this morning, I have a profound understanding, my brothers and sisters, I am not supposed to be here today. I'm still supposed to be locked up in that prison if it had not been the grace of God. If it had not been the grace of God. Now, in my particular testimony, I was released from a prison life sentence in July 1st, 2008. After 16 years in prison, being sentenced to life, I was released July 1st, 2008. And I know that one day I'm going to stand before God and he's going to have that marker in heaven, July 1st, 2008. And he's going to ask me, Brian, what did you do with all the years I gave you after July 1st, 2008? I know, I pray I live a long life after July 1st, 2008. I pray I live a long life, but I know one day I'm going to be held accountable for all them years. And he's going to ask, what did you do with all them years? Did you watch TV all your life? Did you complain all your life? Did you get mad at the traffic all these years that I let you come out of prison? Did you just twiddle your fingers all these years? What did you do with my grace? Now, maybe some of y'all don't have a July 1st, 2008, but you got something marked in heaven. Some of y'all got a July 1st, 1978. And you're going to be held accountable for them years, because God's grace is not to be sat on, it's to be served with. Psalms 116 verse 12 says, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? That's what the psalmist said. He was musing over the mercy and grace of God. He was thinking about the goodness of God in his life. And he cried out in Psalms 116, 12. He says, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? Are we bringing anything back to God? Are we bringing anything back to God? Remember, we teach here that we give back to God out of three T's, right? Your time, your talent, and your treasure. your time, your talent, and your treasure. And those who have a deep appreciation for the grace of God will give back freely. There was a woman in the Bible who possibly was a prostitute, and she was overwhelmed by the grace of God that she came and she broke some valuable perfume on the feet of Jesus and began to wash his feet with her hair. And the religious folk got mad. They started to hate on her and said, look at what she's doing. Jesus turned around and gave a profound statement. He said, they that are forgiven much, love much. They that are forgiven much, love much. I know I don't deserve to be here, and I don't serve God because of someone else. I don't come to church because someone else. As much as I love y'all, I don't come to church because y'all come to church. I serve the Lord because of what he's done for me. I serve the Lord because of what he's done for me. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that delivered me. He's the one that made me a father, made me a husband. He's the one that made me who I am today. I owe God. And it's not because he's a divine debt collector looking over my life waiting for me to pay it back. No, that's not the God we serve. I have this sense of urgency because I understand the grace of God upon my life. The mercy of God. Can we talk like family for a second? Are you sure we can talk like family? I want to talk like family for a minute. If you're a visitor, you could just eavesdrop for a moment. A couple years ago, a guy came up to me and said, Brian, your church is a ex-gang member church, isn't it? So your church is an ex-gang member church. I looked at him and said, what? I said, no, we're not an ex-gang member church. We're a diverse church. All right, we got police part of our church. I don't want to name names, but I was like, we got police part of our church? We got people who work for the district attorney a part of our church. Hello, somebody. We got people who work for the attorney general part of our church. We had a doctor for a couple weeks till she moved away. I said, no, our church is a diverse church. We ain't no ex-gang member church. Then he said, well, why is it every time I drive to your church, I see ex-gang members welcoming me into the parking lot? Some of y'all didn't catch that. You know what I said? I said, well, the reason is because for the most part, they're the only ones that will go out in that parking lot. Who else is going to go into the parking lot where it's cold and it's raining and when they could be up in here in a you know, relatively nice environment? Who's going to spend their time out in that parking lot? So the next couple weeks, I drove into the parking lot. There was a gang member waving at me like this. And I rolled down the window. I said, hey, bro, why are you out here so much? How come you ain't in the sanctuary worshiping with everybody else? You know what he told me? I owe God. So we serve because of God's grace. Secondly, why do we serve? We serve because we are saved to serve. Look at verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For, notice that word, for good works. Now I want to burn this statement in your heart. I want you to get this, particularly those that are baptism candidates. Saved people save people. That word saved is supposed to be past tense. It's misspelled, but it's supposed to be saved people serve people. Saved people serve people. You need to get this because this is a fundamental element of Christianity. You were not saved because of good works. Nobody is saved because of good works. I need you to get this. Water baptism does not save anybody. Water baptism is symbolic. It is a proclamation. It is a declaration of what should have already happened in your heart when you surrender to Jesus Christ. You can go into that water a devil and come out a devil. If you ain't saved already. So we are not saved by any good works. The only works that we are saved by is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way that we are saved. It is because of Jesus and not because of anything we do. Everybody catch that? Now, once we are saved, your salvation will produce good works in your life. True salvation produces good works in your life. This is why I could bet on this, that if you've been coming here for any amount of time, there should have been some type of nudge in your heart saying, man, I need to give back somehow. I need to serve somehow. If one is truly saved, that type of expression would be felt in their heart. You know why? Because saved people serve people. And the problem with us is we begrudge the nudge. How do you think God leads us? God don't just show up to everybody in a vision and give you direct words on what you should do. No, the Holy Spirit nudges us in a direction. He nudges us. And the problem with a lot of Christians, including me, is we got a hard head. So remember this, save people, serve people. And our prayer for you is that you make Chapel of Change your home and not your hotel. Did I say that right? Yeah, I said that right. Our prayer is that you make Chapel of Change your home and not your hotel. You know the difference between a home and a hotel? I was in a hotel in San Diego for the last couple days, and I got to admit to y'all, I caught myself throwing towels on the ground. Don't act like I'm the only one. When you're in a hotel, you just get the spirit of the hotel. Say, oh, somebody else is going to clean up. Somebody else is going to do it. So you just, come on, don't act like I'm the only one. The difference between a hotel and a home is you take pride over your home. You build up your home. You invest in your home. You protect your home. You don't just throw stuff around. So our prayer is that you make Chapel of Change your home and not your hotel. We're building something for the Lord here. We're building something significant for the Lord here. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Listen, I got a call 2 days ago from Pastor Bob Roberts. Many of you know Bob Roberts. And he's one of my mentors. He's a world-class leader. World-class leader. Respected by many, many people. He's an ambassador for the kingdom of God, right? A true ambassador for the kingdom of God. And he called me up. You know what he said? He said, Brian, I want you to go to Qatar with me in the Middle East. I want you to go and help represent the kingdom of God. Man, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. At first I started shaking. But these are the opportunities that God has marked Chapel of Change to make an eternal impact for the kingdom of God. And so you might as well get in where you fit in. Might as well get in where you fit in and be a part of something that's bigger than you. Here's the last reason. Why do we serve the Lord? To get with God's program. Touch your neighbor and say, get with the program. Get with the program. Get with the program. I didn't say yell out the other side, get with the program, but I like your enthusiasm. I like your enthusiasm. Get with the program. Look at verse 10. I want to show this to you. Verse 10. Good works. Notice this. Good works which God prepared beforehand. Notice that. That's shouting terms right there. Look. Good works which God prepared beforehand that we should talk about. Come on, y'all up down there or what? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen. The good news of the grace of God is that long before you thought of him, he thought of you. The good news about the grace of God is long before you called upon God, he was calling you. He was calling you, and he already has your plan laid out. He already has your acts of service laid out. He already has your life laid out. He already has your program laid out. He has pre-planned your life of service before you even recognized God. He recognized you. God was pulling you. He was pulling you. He's been pulling you in his direction. You're not here by accident. You didn't get to Chapel of Change this morning by accident. No, it was a pull of the Holy Ghost. God has already been pulling you in the direction of Chapel of Change. And guess what? The more you resist God, the more you'll live in frustration. The more you resist God, the more you will live in frustration. Because frustration comes when you try to force something to do something it was not designed to do. And I would suggest to us this morning that 70% of our frustration is that we're trying to live out a life that we were not called to live. We're trying to be somebody who we're not called to be. We're trying to do something that we were not called to do. And it's heightening the frustration in our life. But the moment you get with the program of God, you start to live out His destiny for your life. Someone say, get with the program. You won't fully live until you fully surrender to God's program for your life. The Bible says in Titus 2:14, it says, Jesus gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, and get this, purify Himself, His own special people. We are people of God. We are kingdom people. Listen to this. Zealous for good works. God didn't save us just to take us to heaven. If that was the case, He would have zapped us when He saved us. No, He saved us to lift up our lives as trophies of His glory and His grace, so that others might enter into the kingdom of God. But God ain't going to get all the glory out of your life if you don't serve Him. The Apostle Paul in the Bible is a prime example of this. When you study the life of Apostle Paul, you'll learn that he was a persecutor of the church. He killed Christians. He had passion and he had zeal, but he placed them in the wrong place. And God started to pull on the life of Apostle Paul. He tried to pull Paul in the direction of himself, but Paul was resisting the pull of God. Paul began to resist the pull of God. Paul was ignoring God. Paul was pulling away from God. But one day God got upset with Paul. One day God had enough with Apostle Paul. You know what he does? He body slams him to the ground. In Acts chapter 9, he body slams Apostle Paul. Tells him, how you like me now? And he shook him up. He shook him up. Body slammed Apostle Paul because he was resisting God. And he shook up his life. And finally, Paul looks up to God and he says, Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why does it take getting body slammed from God to get to that place in life? Why does it take getting fired from your job to get to that place in your life? Why does it take getting a divorce to get to that place in your life? Why does it take going to a season of brokenness to finally get to a place where you say, Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Shouldn't have to take that. Shouldn't have to take that. No, listen, I got good news for you. You could come out with your hands up. You could come out with your hands up. When Paul was on the ground, God stood over him. In Acts chapter 26, verse 16, God stood over Apostle Paul after he body slammed him on the ground. And he says, now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant. Not a leader, but a servant. I want to use your life through service to bring me glory. I'm going to give you another chance to serve me so I can get some glory out of your life. Get up, because I've appointed you to be a servant. Some of y'all have been shaken up in the last couple months. Maybe you lost your job. I don't know. Maybe you're going through a season of turmoil and you're wondering why. You're wondering why. What's going on in my life? What's happening in my life? Listen, listen. Could it be that God is trying to get your attention? Could it be that God is trying to move you to get with His program? I got news for us today. It is useless to resist the pull of God. It is useless to resist the pull of God. I tell men frequently, and I should tell it to the sisters as well, but usually I tell it to men. I said, listen, you either going to serve God out here or you're going to serve God in prison. You either going to serve God in here, out here, or you're going to serve God in prison. But you're going to serve God. You're going to serve God. So my brothers and sisters, what are we going to do with the grace that God has given us? Will we sit on it? or will we serve with it? Let us bow our heads in the presence of the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the worship team comes back up, God is not done talking to us this morning. He's not done dealing with us. While everybody remains seated in reverence to God, I want us to reflect upon the word of the Lord. What is it that God was trying to get across to us? What is it that God was telling you? How is God dealing with you in this season of your life? The Lord is not done with us yet. Let us bow our heads and our hearts in reverence to the Lord. And every eye close. Let us reflect upon the word of the Lord. This morning, maybe there are some people in here today that need to repent from not managing the grace of God as you should. Maybe there's some people in here today that have sat on the grace of God for too long, and now God is calling you to serve with the grace of God. If that is you, in a couple moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to repent, and I'm going to pray with you, but I want you to think about, is that you? Is that you? Needs to repent from not serving the Lord as you should. You want to make a commitment today to serve God. Stand up on your feet and I'll lead you in a prayer of surrender and repentance. Anyone in here, just stand up on your feet right where you're at. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Anyone else who needs to repent? God is a gracious God. He's speaking to us this morning because he wants us to serve him. Anyone else, just stand to your feet. I'm going to lead you in a prayer and then I'm going to pray for you. For those of you who stood up from your heart, say this prayer with me. Lord God, I am sorry I have not been serving you as I should. Today, I repent from selfishness, Lord. Please forgive me. Today, I commit to serving you, to being a good steward of your grace upon my life. Help me to serve you. Help me to be faithful to give back to you. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are bold enough to stand up. Lord, that is a sign that you are working in their life. by virtue of them getting up, Father God, that is a sign that you're not done with them yet. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for giving us another chance, Lord God, when we drift away. We thank you for giving us another chance, Father God. Lord, I pray that you bless my brothers and sisters who stood up. Just bless them just for standing up, Father God. Help them to serve and help them to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise. You may be saved.